God is good. Yeah. This is actually, oddly enough, Alex, that's what I taught on last week, was faith moves a mountain. You know, you just don't doubt. Just don't doubt.
Yeah.
And the thing is you go, oh, but I'm going to doubt. And you go, yeah, but that's just it. Jesus is saying, I don't doubt. And it's actually not your faith. It's my faith. And I don't doubt. So even if you doubt, it doesn't matter. You're not doing it anyway. It's me doing it. So we always go, well, yeah, but what if? And Jesus says, no, I'm perfect, and I did it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it. So don't worry about it. We're always trying to do things in our own flesh,
right.
Our own strength. But we're not supposed to. We're supposed to do it in His strength. Mm. So we can do it. You know, last week I taught out of whatever it is, Luke, or whatever it is, we said, you know, because the disciples were walking through and Peter goes, hey, look, that fig tree you cursed yesterday, it's dead. And Jesus was like, yeah, you know, if you have faith, you can say to this mountain, cast yourself into the sea and it'll happen. Just don't doubt.
Yeah.
And it's like, because I'm always trying, oh God, why didn't that not work out? And then so I go through all this junk in my head.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I get these little glimpses of understanding. It's like, it's all God. It's all Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes your spirit, your flesh lines up, because your flesh is so loud. And sometimes it lines up with your spirit, because your spirit, remember your spirit, once you got saved, Jesus is in you. And it 100% agrees with everything God says.
Right.
And it's your flesh that disagrees. And so they're always warring. And so that's why when we read the word and we're talking to God, then our spirit is louder. But, you know, for watching TV and YouTube and mulling about all our problems, then our flesh is louder.
Yeah.
So it's like that Indian thing, you know, whichever wolf you feed is the louder wolf, you know, is it the, so Indian American, not Indian with a, so which the Indians in India probably have some saying like that too.
Dave.
Yeah.
Timothy 2:11, 12, and 13, but I'll just read 13.
Okay.
If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself.
So yeah. Yeah.
Says what you're saying.
Yeah. My sister sent me a Smith Wigglesworth book for Christmas. And it was funny because he said, one of my friends came up and said, there's a lady that comes and she ministers to us every week and she broke her leg. And the doctors set it, and it didn't set right. And they said, we can't do anything about it. You're going to be bedridden for the rest of your life. And he goes, can you come pray for her? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And so he went into the house, and she's laying in bed, and her husband's sitting across the room. And he goes, it won't work. God doesn't do that kind of stuff. And so the husband says this to Smith. He goes, yeah, it's not going to work. And so Smith says to the woman, would you like to be healed? She goes, yeah, absolutely. She goes, I believe that God can do it. And so Smith prays for her, and all of a sudden she leaps up. She's like, I'm healed. You know, that God repaired all the destruction that man fixed and all that kind of stuff. And she's dancing around the house. And then the husband was like, he had been unable to walk for 4 years. And he's like, well, I believe too. I believe. I think God can do it. And Smith says this. He goes, I knew in my heart that he didn't believe.
Yeah.
He goes, but I prayed for him and he was healed anyway. So it doesn't have anything to do with us.
No.
It has to do with us being obedient,
yeah.
Whether we believe it or not. That's where the faith comes in, is being obedient to say it anyways, even though you look like an idiot. Storm, go away. And you're like, it's not going to go away. But you said it because you obeyed. I obeyed. It's just like we have a cat, Martin Luther. And this is funny because like we went on a trip, we came home, and he hadn't ever done this. He marked the entire house, so the whole house stunk like male cat. I don't know if you know what that smell is, but it's awful.
Yeah.
And we thought it was weird. He's one. He should have already done it by now, but he didn't. I was like, well, praise God, he's not going to do it. And he did it. And he did it for like 2 weeks. And I looked at him and I said, you will not mark this house anymore. And he hasn't done it since.
No.
Wow, that's great.
God gave us dominion over the animals. Now, whether that, I mean, immediately my go, well, that's just coincidence, you know. But I'm like, no, God told us, you have dominion over this earth, the animals, the plants. Just say it. Just do it. Let God come through. It has nothing to do with you. So it's fun. Life is amazing.
Oh, it's great.
We just need to, yeah, go speak.
The Holy Spirit just showed me while you were
good
sharing that even though our flesh, because you know the Word of God says greatest evil is in you,
yeah,
than he that is in the world. Even though our soul may not have a whole lot of faith in it, like,
yeah,
you know, like it may be saying, "Oh man, you're." Do not pray for that person.
Yeah.
There's a deeper part of us. It's the Holy Spirit living in us. And, you know, and if we'll recognize that.
Yeah.
Even sometimes we forget it, but, you know, we'll have that unction or whatever it is that's moving. It's the Holy Spirit really that's moving us. We can say, just by faith, even without having that feeling or that emotional confidence or whatever.
Yeah.
We can recognize, hey, the Holy Spirit's in me, and if we have that nudge from the Holy Spirit to you know, step out that desire, you know, because we do, that's the Holy Spirit in us. God will honor that, even though
Amen.
We're not feeling it, or you know, it's like, and even though the lies are just kind of echoing in our minds, saying, "Oh, it's never going to happen,"
right?
It doesn't even matter because greater is He. The bedrock reality is
yeah.
God's word is true. Greater is He that is in you,
absolutely,
than he that is in the world,
right?
And you can step out, and, you know, in faith, and you would, I think, any of us would be shocked,
yeah,
to see that God will honor that. God, greater is He that is in us than He that is
yeah.
in the world. There's nothing impossible
yeah.
with our God, and it's true. Life and death,
yeah.
It's in the power of our tongue.
Absolutely. Everything. Remember, God did everything through speaking. And we don't. And the world can get kind of. There's a term that they use now. It's called woo-woo. I don't know if you guys have heard that. That just means woo-woo. They're like, that's woo-woo. That just means it's just like, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
But the world gets weird with it. They're like, well, you know, when you speak, it goes into the universe and blah, blah. You know, that's stupid. But God, our words are powerful because God is in us.
Yeah.
And so, and again, you got to go, immediately you turn around and go, well, it's not me, it's God in me. It's not me. It's not me.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's you being obedient to God. Somebody told me last week, I don't ever look at this side, so I'll look at you guys. This is in the Fort Worth church. Maybe because I'm left-handed, I just immediately gravitate this direction. Oh, that's funny. So
that's why I like David so much.
Because I'm a lefty. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
It's fun. We so this week, Gabby had an appointment with an occupational therapist because we noticed things about her that are just. She has a very hard, you know, you think, well, most kids have a hard time sitting still and learning, but, you know, it's different. So she went through all these little things and she's like, we're going to do all these tests. And she's like, oh yeah, she hits all the markers. And it's fun because she said, this is all fixable and it's not through medication. It's just through teaching. And we're going to teach you how to teach your daughter how to, you know, do this kind of stuff. And it's not like, it's always very gentle. It's like God, when God teaches us, it's very gentle and it's everything. It's just like, she has something called retained reflexes, which just means when she was born, things that normally switch off have stayed on. So she's very in the moment, not listening to you. Whatever's in her head is predominant, which is most people. But yeah. I think most people haven't ever turned that off. Her dad is exactly like that. But it's like she'll say, I don't know why I did that. I just did it. And I know you said not to do it, but I did it anyways. And I'm like, that's so. But it's fun. It's and Yeah.
Your nephew John.
Yeah.
He has that. He had that. Because it was so funny when he was a teenager. His dad, his dad would put the iPhone or whatnot, that thing that, that little thing that
yeah.
portable
tablet or whatever
computer thing, and he said, "Do not take this off." 2 minutes later, he took it. But he just said, "Don't take that."
Yeah.
And I thought, and I just was like shocked that he was yeah. do it. And then I even put a little like, "Do not remove me." He rolled that up and
yeah.
That's really weird. So, because he had that same thing.
Yeah. Well, she did. Well, she did it this week during class. The teacher told all the students, "Don't." There's this thing on my desk, and she wasn't doing it to be an example. She was just saying, "Don't touch it." And so the teacher went out of the room, and all the kids went in there playing with it. And then she came in, and she's like, "No, I told you guys not to play with it." And so then she had to go get something else, and she came back in, and Gabby was playing with it right after she gave them mercy. Gabby was playing with it again. She's like, "I told you." She's like, "I don't know why I did. I just." So anyway, it's good. So God is amazing. What's fun is this was understood 200 years ago, but we've gotten so brilliant that we forgot all about it. And now people who listen to God have discovered, oh, this is all just stuff that needs to be fixed, and it's easily fixed, and you don't need to do drugs or go through all this weird therapy or anything like that. It's just things that God designed that it didn't happen. A lot of it has to do with that Mary had a C-section, and so a lot of things didn't happen. And it's weird. It's like, wow, God knew what he was doing. And if you skip some of his steps, then things don't happen. And it's like, okay. So,
wow.
Anyway, hallelujah. I don't know why I got off on that tangent. It's fun. I was livid because the teacher last week taught on Martin Luther King, and you'd think, that's no big deal, you know, whatever. But I'm like, these are kindergartners. They do not need to be. And so when we asked her what she liked about her occupational therapist, she said, "Well, she looks like me." And I thought, oh, my goodness. I had to wrestle with that. I was like, ooh, I was so mad. I was like, she had never thought about that before, and now she's thinking about that. And I was mad, and I was like, I was going to protect her, and now I didn't. And it was like, but you know what? God is good. He can protect her way more than I can. And he'll take anything that the devil will use to hurt someone, God will take it around and bless them seven times. You know, the Bible says that. Whatever the devil comes against you with, God will reverse it and bless you seven times greater than the devil intended to hurt you. He is. So it's like, my sister was like, "Why are you worried about it?" I'm like, "Ah, that's right. I don't know. Just justice." So it's good, and it's good because I was going to give that teacher a piece of my mind, and I've held my peace, and now I realize I'm just going to gently tell her, "Hey, kindergartners don't need to learn this because they don't think about things like this, and you don't need to think about these things ever." It's funny, Margaret has this story because my parents never talked about the color of people's skin or anything like that, and Margaret's best friend growing up was Jonathan Mawiri. And Jonathan's grandparents from Australia came, and she said to mom or dad, she goes, "Now, are those Robert's parents or Janet's parents?" And obviously they're white as the driven snow. Right. But we didn't know. We didn't think about it. Right. Because that's not, if you don't put that pollution in your head, it doesn't register. Right. You just see people as people, and they're all, anyway, I don't know why I'm getting off on this tangent. But it's because the devil brings in confusion.
Sure.
And that's how he makes us incapable of doing what we need to do. He, like, I don't know, I saw some speech later. I know, it was the guy, the new prime minister of Canada. And they tried to trick him. And he's like, he was talking about wokeness. And he's like, "You try to divide us by race. And gender and this and that and that and that, and it's just we can't get anything done.
Right.
It's so we can't bless each other. You're trying to pit us against each other, and that's what we got to do away with. You know, we're all humans. We all have a heart and blood pumping, and you know, a brain. And most of us have a brain. Some people out there that I wonder. So that's why it's good. It's God has a plan for us, and the devil's entire job is to keep us from doing that plan.
Yeah.
And so he'll create any kind of diversion that he needs to. Like, it's funny, I always think about, because Clay was saying that the devil's not going to quit attacking. And it's true, because, like, if you, our mindset is, hey, every 30, you know, like a TV show is 30 minutes, and the bad guy shows up, and then the good guy wins, and then it's, and he quits. That's not the way the devil is. The devil doesn't quit. He doesn't go, oh, I guess I lost, and he just stops. No. That's why we continually have on the armor of God.
Yep.
That's why until Jesus comes back and reigns for eternity, we don't have peace. I mean, we do, because Jesus is in us for peace. But the devil is constantly going to attack us, and he's going to try to knock down our defenses. And our defenses are Jesus. And so, and if we stop looking at Jesus, then our defenses fall, because it's like Peter who started to sink. Because why? Because he stopped looking at Jesus. He had the faith to step out of the boat and walk on water, and he was staring at Jesus. He was like, I'm going to come to you, Jesus. And then he stopped looking at Jesus, and he started looking at his circumstances. He started looking at what was around him, and he got afraid. But he had the faith to step out of the boat. That's ridiculous. He's in the middle of a lake, and it's, you know, 150 feet deep. He stepped out of the boat and walked on water. Nobody else has ever done that, you know, but he had the faith to do that. And that's what we do. We, a lot of times we do that. We have the faith to start, and then we, oh, what did I get myself into? No, God has already laid out everything that needs to happen, and he will always protect you. He's got his, we're always telling Gabby, you have a guardian angel, and his head goes through the ceiling. You know, that's how tall he is. It's funny, because somebody said something like, how come angels are so tall? And they were talking about this, and then if you talk to creationists, they go, well, man was tall. Man was like 14 foot tall at the beginning, and now we're short. So man wasn't giants. We're just small compared to what man was. You know, it's all genetics, you know. Over time, over 6,000 years, the genetics have boiled it down to us. But in the beginning, man was perfect. His genetics were perfect. Everything was perfect. They were fast, tall, strong, smart. We left some of that stuff behind. So... but that's okay, because we are, what I love is God knew, I was talking to Mom about, because of the Calvinists, you know, they say, well, these people are predestined, these people are not. And it's like, that's ridiculous. God knew when and how and why. He knew if we were going to choose him or not choose him. And the thing is if that were the case, if God were into predestination, he just wouldn't have people be born that weren't going to believe in him. What's the point? If they're not going to believe him, what's the point of them being born? You know, just don't have them be born, because God could do that. But God gives everybody a chance to choose him or not choose him. You know, we have no idea. We have no idea who will and who won't. I mean, there's some of the weirdest people you find out later, oh, they chose God. I didn't know that. I had no idea. I mean, they lived their whole life. Like Evel Knievel, I think I've told that before. I don't know if I've told that before. He gave his life to God just a couple years before he died. And he's like, I wish I'd found God a lot sooner. He goes, this is incredible. My whole life would have been different if I had found God sooner. Oddly enough, it was Lee Strobel that led him to Jesus, who was a atheist. You know, didn't believe in God at all. We have no idea who we can impact. You know, we can be mad at all these people. You know, I always bring up Nancy Pelosi. She's always the first one that comes to top of my mind. I don't know why. I think because she says she's a Catholic. I'm a Catholic. You're like, no, you're not. I mean, maybe you are. Maybe you aren't. But I mean, it's like your fruit. And then I go, well, I don't know. That's evil of me to even begin. My job is to pray for her, and so that she has a real relationship. So if she's saved, does she have a real relationship with God? God, show up to her in a real way. Because right now, you know, it's all about covering your sin. That's all of Washington D.C. is about, covering up sin. You hide your sin, you hide my sin, and I'll hide your sin. You know, what is it? I don't know. I didn't understand it. There's some video that came up this week, and they were talking about all the alcoholics in D.C. You know, they're all alcoholics, and it's like, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, because you'd have to deaden yourself so much to all the pollution that's there, all the you see these young fellows and they go in, they're like, I'm going to save the world. And then within one term, they're with everybody else. And I assume they drink to death because they have to cover up all the garbage that they're, you know, that they're dealing with. I can't, you know, all they need is God. It's like God will cover up that same garbage. It's interesting. You know, there's that term God-shaped hole. You know, have you guys ever heard that? There's a God-shaped hole. You don't realize how, you always think God-shaped hole, and you think it's like little bitty. It's gigantic. It would take, you can't even put everything in the world into that hole to fill up what God can fill. Because you just think it's little. It's not. It's enormous. To make everything, to replace God, you can't take everything in the entire universe to replace God. It could never fill that hole. And you see that with people. They go and they try everything. Drugs and alcohol and sex and, you know, whatever, working, and they try to fill that hole with that. And nothing. Doesn't matter how, you know, rich people can do it because they have the time and the money to do it, and they fill it with everything. They buy yachts and giant houses, and they do totally perverted stuff because they're trying to fill that hole. What's going to make me feel good? What's going to give me peace? And nothing will do it because that hole is gigantic. Because it's God-sized. It's a God-sized hole. God's the only one that can fill it. Yeah. And the thing is we have that answer. And we're supposed to share it. Christians are lousy examples of who God is. It's so funny. You see how many people get hurt by the church. They're like, I hate God. You're like, why do you hate God? Well, I was hurt in the church. You're like, well, that's dumb. I'm sorry that Christians hurt you. We do that. Because we're idiots. We're not always listening to God. And we can make mistakes and we can hurt people. I've talked to people that were hurt by my dad. And you go, why? And they explain it. I'm like, well, that's not what my dad taught. It's just because they had a bad understanding of what dad taught. And dad would always say, if I say something, go to God. So if me, I'll say the same thing. If I say something, you need to take it to God and go, God, is he correct? Is that a correct thing? You need to have your own relationship with God. You know, it's like sooner or later the apprentice has to have his own wisdom. He has to have his own experience. You know, he can't just, like, my dad is no longer here. I can't go and ask him. What a gift that was that my dad went to be with Jesus. Because now I have to go right to God. I can't go to anybody else and go, hey, what's the answer to this? I have to go, God, what's the answer to this? And I have to be able to hear him. It's like, it's good. It's a good thing. So God is showing me, he's showing me that, because what we're talking about is the authority, and we have it, and we don't understand it. The simplest way I can explain it is, a man would own a business, and he hires someone, and he gives them all the authority to do whatever he needs to do in the business. And that man can use the checkbook. He can take the company car. You know, that's what we are. And we don't realize that. We think, well, no, I'm just a lowly guy. And hey, can I do this? And he's like, no, I gave you the authority to do it. When he said, move the mountain, he didn't say, in Jesus' name, mountain, move. He said, you just say, mountain, move. He didn't say, hey, God, can I tell this mountain to move? Hey, Jesus, can I? He just said, the authority is in you. Again, it's not you. It's the authority of God. Remember, when God created us initially, we didn't have any sin in us. And Adam named all the animals. I can't even imagine how long that took. You know, and it's just one verse in the Bible. I mean, there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of animals. And he named them all. That wisdom was in him. And we just, you know. And then, of course, Adam and Eve sinned, and they lost a lot of stuff. You know, we started to think for ourselves and be brilliant of our own thing. I love it when I just listen to God. God, you tell me what to do. I don't even want to begin to think about it, because I could go down so many trails. And, you know, when people ask me to figure things out, I'll get in my mind and I'll just do it 20 different ways. It's like, if I could just go, God, what's the best way to do this? I could cut out all that junk and just go right at it. What's the best way to talk to this person? Should I be aggressive? Should I just pray for them? Should I lay hands on them? You know, Jesus never did it the same way twice. So that's, he always had to listen to the Father. Father, how do you want me to heal this guy? But he would see it. It was in his heart. Oh, this person's hurting. I'm going to heal him. All right, Father. On earth as it is in heaven. God already did it in heaven. It's already been done. We just need to ask. All right, I brought my wrong Bible this morning, so I'm going to read from my phone. Oddly enough, I've been having trouble seeing, and then I realized that I was using too strong of a prescription. I used a lesser prescription. I was like, oh, I can read again. It's funny. Everything's so blurry. Do you guys remember where I finished off in Acts 8 last week? That was a week ago.
Well, not here.
No, I meant you. You were there in Fort Worth last week.
No, I don't.
You don't remember?
I know.
I think I was done with Simon the magician. We'll start with verse 14. Because remember, Simon the magician was, he was a magician and he did things and the people were astounded. And then Paul showed up. Was it Paul? No. Was it Philip?
You talking about 8:14?
Yeah.
I think you finished that.
Acts 8.
Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. It's good. Because it's good. So people get saved, but then they're not grown up. They're just immature. You know, and then the whole parable of the seeds, you know, if you don't have good soil to grow in, it just dies off or the birds come get it or whatever. So it's good. It's good that people are saved, but then you gotta help them grow. You know, you gotta tend. So they heard the word of God and then they sent him Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So there we go. That's all those people that say you get the power of the Holy Spirit when you get saved. No, you get the Holy Spirit. You get the Comforter. You get the wisdom. You got to ask for the power. It's like the employee. Hey, can I borrow the forklift? Can I have the powerful tool? You know, I don't just want the pencil to write notes on the desk. I want to go out and use the big tools. Ask for it, which is weird because, you know, I wrestle with that a lot because I would go to these things and people would say, they'd pray, Lord, let your fire fall. Let the Holy Spirit fall on us. And I'm like, I already have the Holy Spirit. I walked in the building. I already have him. He's here. I didn't realize sometimes you have to ask the Holy Spirit, fall on this place. He's in me. His wisdom is in me. He comforts me. But you have to ask for the power to fall. Verse 15 I just finished. Acts 8, verse 15. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit had been bestowed, I had read this, but we're going to read it anyways. Through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. You didn't understand. It's not something you can buy. It's a free gift. It's a gift. It's not a commodity. He's like, hey, tell me. It's weird to me because I don't have that mentality, but if I were of the world, I would have that mentality. You know, the world thinks that way. Hey, what do I got to do to get that? Hey, if I need to give you money, I'll do it. But I understand who my Father is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it would be interesting to be able to think the way the world does, and I don't. So I it's not... Anyway, I'm going to stop there. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you supposed you could obtain the gift of God with money. He didn't. So what's the problem? I mean, that's, he's thinking, hey, I want to be able to do this too. It was because he wanted to skip all the relationship part. Hey, you need to know God. He just wanted the power. He didn't want anything to do. He really wasn't interested in God. He was interested in the power of God. It wasn't, there was, because remember, he had a hold over the town that he was in, and it's like the medical professionals of today, you know, they have a hold. They have fear over people. They're like, well, this is happening. I got to go to the doctor so he can tell me what's wrong. You know, it's like, anyway, I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. So he wanted to know. And Peter said, you have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. They just, you know, and as a, when you tell that to somebody, they can get their heart right before God. That was a nice rebuke for Peter. Hey, your heart's not right before God. First of all, you misunderstand. It's not about money. It's not about power. It's not about the power. And immature people will think it's about the power. Hey, I want the power. You have to be dead to yourself. It has to be at a point where you're not. Remember Peter. I think Peter died when he denied Jesus three times and three people called him out, and then he realized what he did, and right then he died to himself. He's like, how wicked am I? I've spent 3 years with Jesus. He's been teaching me, and I was so afraid of what they might do to me. I denied him three times. Because what did he say right before that happened? Oh, Jesus, I'll never deny you. I will never do it. Jesus is like, before the morning comes, you're going to do it three times. No way. I am your man. That's me. I've done that. I'm like, God, I will trust you to the end of the earth. And then something will happen. I'm like, oh, and then you doubt and you have fear. It's like, that's what the Bible, you know, that's why we have the Bible, is so we can see real people and we see how Jesus dealt with them gently. Hey, you're going to deny me three times before morning. And that crushed Peter when it happened. But it was good. He saw, I need to rely on God. Because I can't do it myself. Wow. You have no part of this portion in the matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray earnestly to the Lord that, if it possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. See right there. Peter said, it's all good. You're not asking for the right reasons. Go before God and say, hey, God, show me. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of unrighteousness. But Simon answered and said, pray earnestly to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. He was scared. Because remember, they came into town and they were doing stuff. Like, he was a magician, which means he was tricking people and he was making things happen and whatever. And they came in and he was like, and they were like healing people and casting out demons. And he's like, whoa, that's the real deal. I want in on that. Whatever you got, I want it. And he's like, I'm scared. You go ask God, because I realize I just stepped in it and I'm I'm in trouble. So when they had solemnly borne witness and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were proclaiming the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Remember, the Jewish people aren't supposed to talk to the Samaritans. They had a feud, and you just were not supposed to do it. But remember, God gave Peter the dream about the blanket and the food. He's like, I don't call things unclean that I call clean. So Jesus said, God said, go speak to the Gentiles. That's the problem with us, is we think we understand who God is and what God wants. When people say, because like people say, I get this a lot when I'm dealing with people online, they'll be like, well, if there's no good works, then they're not saved. And I'll go, well, who are you to judge what good works are? You don't know what good works are. You think you know what they are. There's a lot of outward works that look like good works. There are people who have done good works their whole life, and when they get to heaven, God will say, that was all garbage. You didn't do that. It's just like Simon. You didn't do that for me. You did that for your own glory. You did that for your own desire. You did that for your own whatever. That was, you weren't dead. You weren't listening to me and saying, what should I do? You just did it. And you even did it in my name. But it was not for me. You did not do that for me. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, rise up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he rose up and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all their treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. It's good. So I don't know much about the Ethiopians, but somehow they had the scriptures. They had a lot of scriptures. People would say, well, read the Ethiopian Bible. The Ethiopian Bible has a lot of some weird stuff in it too, because they got the gospel like third or fourth hand. They didn't have it first hand. So go over and join this chariot. And Philip ran up to him, ran up and heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet, and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. That's so fun. I've heard so many testimonies of people being, Jesus showing up to them, and they're like, well, how do I find out who you are? And then somebody shows up to their house the next day with a Bible. It's like, God, no. This guy was reading Isaiah, and he's like, I don't understand this. Yeah. And God says, hey, go and explain to him what Isaiah is saying. There's a YouTube channel that I follow from time to time, and they're Jewish believers, and they'll read scripture to Jewish people, and they're like, well, that's the New Testament. They'll go, oh no, that's Isaiah. And they're like, well, that's talking about Jesus. And he's like, exactly. The Old Testament, the book that you guys read, it's talking about Jesus. It's talking about the Savior. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: as a sheep is led to slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. And isn't that amazing? Isn't that what Jesus did? Yes. They kept accusing him. Yeah. You did this, and you did that, and you did this. And the scripture says he didn't say anything. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't defend himself. He didn't say a word. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will recount his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you earnestly, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth and began, and beginning from this scripture, he proclaimed the good news about Jesus to him. And as they were along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You guys all proclaim that? Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Amen. You know that the Bible says the demons can't say that. That's how you test it. They cannot say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to me, that's weird. It's like, how could you? I could do that. I could just lie. How could a demon not lie? Because because we don't understand the depth of that. We don't understand how the spiritual realm works. It's not known to us. Wow. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him. Do you expect God to do that? We don't expect God to do that, but he can. There are stories of people who've been translated somewhere, and they'll preach, and then they'll be translated back. I've never heard it or seen it, but, you know.
Robert did that.
I'm not surprised if it happens. Yep. It hurts my head to think of that, you know. I go, what? But you know what? It wasn't even that Philip did anything. He wasn't saying, "Oh God, I'm done." You know, Philip was probably thinking, "Man, it's gonna be a long walk back. I ran all the way here, and And he was still in the chariot, and all of a sudden, whoosh, he was gone. And Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept proclaiming the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. You know what the way is? It's Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, and as he was traveling, it happened that when he was approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Remember, that's what God said to David. And David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Because remember, Saul wasn't persecuting God. He was persecuting Christians who were believing in this Jesus guy. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, "I am Jesus." Come on in. "I am Jesus." Same room. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise up and enter the city, and it will be told to you what you must do." So remember, this guy was going around finding Christians and throwing them in jail, having them killed. And he was, in his day, he was the most righteous guy. You know, according to the synagogues, he was it. He was Judge Dredd. I don't know if you know that TV show. Judge, jury, and executioner. He went around and he found people that were not doing it the Jewish way, you know. Because remember, Jesus, what did Jesus say when he came? "I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And they didn't understand that. If you knew who Moses was, you'd know who I am, he said. But they didn't. They didn't really know who Moses was. They didn't realize something I said last week. There was a guy that was talking to Joe Rogan, and he said something so profound that I'm going to say it again. He said, "The law is a mirror. And the problem is people try to take the mirror and they try to clean themselves with it. But it's just a mirror. You look in it and you go, I am unworthy." But you can't use the mirror to clean yourself. It's just a mirror. It's just a tool. The law is just a tool to show you you're unworthy, you're unholy, you're awful. And then you go, I need God. And God goes, all right, I'll clean you. My blood will clean you. The Son that I sent who died and rose again, I believe in Jesus Christ, that's your cleansing. So the law is a mirror. It's just to show you that you're wicked. And it's no other purpose. It's no other purpose than just to show you who you are. And the men who traveled with him, and the men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing no voice and seeing no one. That would be weird. You know, somebody just starts. They just start talking. Who are you talking to? What, you didn't hear that? No. He's gone crazy. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. Because that's, he literally was blind, even though he couldn't, so spiritually he was blind. He could not see the truth. You know, that's what the Jewish people are blind. You know, their eyes are darkened. They cannot see the truth. And that's crazy to me. The truth is right in front of them, and they cannot see it. And he wanted to be God's best man. I want to be God's best man. I was listening to a testimony of an Indian fellow. He was a Buddhist, whatever Buddhists are. And he was sick, and he had been sick for years, and he had kept praying to Buddha, "Buddha, why don't you heal me? Why don't you heal me?" And then he cried out and he said, "All right, forget Buddha. If there's a God out there, can you heal me?" And Jesus showed up and he said, I'm God. And he healed this guy. And then became a Christian. He went out seeking God. Who is this Jesus guy? I got to find him. That's incredible. I love hearing stories like that. All right, if you know, like the young man is like, all right, I'm not hearing from Allah, so if there's a God, talk to me. Talk to me. And God shows up. Hey, here I am. If you seek him, he'll show up.
Amen.
If you seek him, he'll show up. And Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were not open, he could see nothing. Leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. That'd be disconcerting. I like to see. Can you imagine that, not being able to see? All that you've been able to see your whole life, and all of a sudden you can't see. And some guy talked to you and said, why are you persecuting me? That would be, I probably wouldn't eat or drink either. I'd be like, you'd be terrified. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So whenever God calls your name, just say that. Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. So he, God talks to him. Hey, I want you to go talk to Saul. He's questioning God. And God doesn't rebuke him.
Right.
He just says, hey, it's okay. He's one of my guys. And he goes, okay. It's okay to question God. God wants a relationship. He doesn't want you just to be a robot. He wants a relationship with you. You really want me to do that? Yeah, I do. Okay. Remember Gideon? 3 times God said, it was God talking to him. And he still asked 3 times. He's like, maybe this isn't God. Maybe I'm just hearing crap in my head. Sorry. I said the word crap. Now I said it twice. You know, because you can do that. You can say, well, that wasn't God. That was just me ruminating in my head. So, you know, make the fleece wet. Now make the fleece dry. Now make the fleece wet. You know, it's like, okay, this is really God. It happened 3 times. It wasn't just coincidence. You know, so he was questioning God. God, this guy is going around jailing all the men and women, and I don't know if I want to do this thing. Hey, it's okay.
I don't know if you know this guy.
Yeah, I don't know if you know. You're God and all, but I don't know if you know. He's on the other side. He's the bad guy. It's all right. I've got him set up. I'm going to use him in a mighty way.
Yeah. You know, when I hear that dilemma, and
yeah,
the Lord or not, I remember the Lord said, test the spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have permission by God.
Absolutely.
To test the spirits.
Amen.
And therefore, I'm not challenging you. And I'll tell him, okay, now I'm not challenging you.
Good.
And so that's my out. When I
Good. Hallelujah.
And how do you do that?
You told me, God. You told me to ask.
Pardon?
You do that by the word of the Spirit.
I see. Let's see. How would I do that?
I that's okay.
No, that's a good question.
By the word, I guess you'd say, is it in the word?
Well, how did Ananias do it?
In the name of Jesus Christ, if you're not the Lord Jesus Christ, then get out of here.
Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Well, then that wasn't from God, you know. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. All right. Well, that was from God. you know. But you know what Ananias do? He just asks, hey, this guy, he's wicked. Yeah, I've got a purpose for him. Oh, okay. So he asked a guy. He just went around. That's him testing the spirit.
Conversationally.
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on the situation, how you would do that.
Yeah. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So Ananias departed and entered into the house. And he laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord sent me, that is, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he rose up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. It's like, I'm hungry. I've been scared for 3 days and praying, God, what did I do wrong? I've been seeking you all my life. I'm one of the smartest guys. I'm your top guy, and you told me I'm persecuting you. I'm your top guy, and you told me I'm doing it wrong. God blinded him, or showed him he was blind. You're blind. You don't really see.
Wow. Sorry. You know what this reminds me of?
Tell me.
When it says, when Jesus said, if you ask for a fish, I'm not going to give you
a stone.
Your father's not going to give you a stone.
Right.
We've got a good father. And he asked for a fish, so to speak. He's like, fill this guy with the Holy Ghost. Did he say it? He got filled with the Holy Ghost? It doesn't say that. It says he was healed. His eyes were healed. Mm-hmm. And then he got baptized.
Yeah.
I mean, God gave him what he needed. And I don't know if it was the Holy Ghost then or not, or it was later or whatever, because I don't know. But it's kind of interesting that, you know, God just like, God heard and answered in the way that Paul needed.
Yeah.
Versus the way that Ananias prayed for him.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry.
And it's all good. Mm-hmm. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. Can you remember hanging out with him? This is the guy that's been throwing everybody in jail. He's on our side now. Are you sure? Maybe he's undercover. I mean, Ananias said he's good to go. God told him. Oh, okay. Can you imagine the conversations that were going on? And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. Man, that was quick. Just need to be knocked off your horse, blinded for 3 days, have your sight restored. Jesus is the Son of God. I got it. That's what it takes for some of us. We have to be knocked off our horse and blinded. And all those hearing him continued to be astounded and were saying, is this not the one who in Jerusalem destroyed those that called on the name, on this name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? But Saul kept increasing in his strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this one is the Christ. And when many days, he had all the scripture. Remember, he had all the knowledge. He knew all the scriptures. That was the guy to pick. The guy that knew he could easily do it. And many days had elapsed, and the Jews plotted together to put him to death. But their plot became known to Saul, and they were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through a wall, lowering him in a large basket. I always loved that story as a kid. I thought that was fun. You just see this big basket going down the wall. And he's getting out. God has a plan. God has a plan, you know. Paul had a lot to do, so the Jews weren't going to get him. It was like Jesus. Jesus would be speaking the truth, and they were plotting to kill him. And he'd just walk out of the crowd, and they're like, where is he? Like, how did you not just see him walk away? You know, when God has something for you to do, nothing can stop you. Philip was translated, you know, back to where he needed to be, you know, Jesus. It's like, we can't comprehend that, we can just obey. When God tells you something, you don't, God, how are you going to do it? Don't ask how he's going to do it. Just obey, and he'll do it. He's already prepared it. And when he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and recounted to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. That's fun. And so he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. So Jesus did the same thing. He came in and he was ruining their deal because he was straightening. And oddly enough, all he was doing was just straightening out some theology. Hey, let's straighten this out. I can tell you love God. I can tell you want to seek God. Let me straighten out a few things. That's why we have to be humble. So that was what was wrong with Simon at the beginning. He was proud. He wasn't humble enough to know that he was wrong and just receive it. He had his own way. You know, lots of, I dog on Catholics a lot. That's one of the things that bothers me about them is they're like, we're the true first church and everything we say is gospel. And Martin Luther was evil and blah, blah, blah. And he was a heretic. And it's like, yeah. It's like, I don't know how you can't see in all of time, it's always one man that stands out and goes, hey, you guys are wrong. And he's always the guy that's right. And it's always the crowd that's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you can't see that, then you don't read your Bible. You know, it's always just one guy. And it's usually an insignificant guy, a guy who's of no account.
So true.
Interesting point.
So true. Wow.
But when the brothers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. Hey, he went home to his hometown. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria was having peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and it continued to multiply. Now it happened that as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down to the saints who lived in Lydda. And there he found a man named Ananias, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise up and make your bed. And immediately he rose up, and all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. He didn't ask. The guy didn't ask. He just saw him. Hey, this guy is... Because you wonder that. You're like, oh, Lord, are you only going to heal people that ask for healing? No. He just walked up and said, hey, Jesus told me that I'm supposed to heal you. So let's get you healed and take up your bed and walk. That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
So now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated was called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid her in the upper room. And now since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, pleading with him, do not delay in coming to us. So Peter arose and went with them. And when he arrived, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, crying and showing all their tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up and called the saints and widows, and he presented her alive. and it became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it happened that he stayed there many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. Nothing in the Bible is insignificant. I don't know why it told us that there was a tanner named Simon, but it's significant. I talked about this a little last week in Fort Worth, but I was reading in Zechariah, and it uses the word Adonai Elohim, two words. And if you look in the King James, it just translates it as Lord. And you think, okay, Lord. But that doesn't do it justice. Adonai Elohim means the Almighty Ruler of Legions.
Wow.
That doesn't quite have the same ring as Lord, you know. So that's why there's nothing insignificant in the Bible. So look it up. Look it up. When you see a word and you go, because a lot of times I'll read a word that I've read 100 times and God will point it out to me. And so I'll look that word up and go, what does that really mean? Like the Webster's 1828 is a good one. You guys should use that. You can get the app on your phone. You can get the giant green dictionary that went around for years.
Really?
But it has Webster's 1828.
Oh, really?
Noah Webster.
You can look it up online.
You can look it up online too, yeah. Noah Webster loved God, and his entire dictionary is based on the Bible, and all the definitions are biblical based. So when you look it up, you go, what is this word? And he'll go, and a lot of times the words we use nowadays, they don't have the same meaning they did 200 years ago. So it's closer to what it would be in the King James. So when you look it up, you go, oh, that means, you know, it may even have a completely opposite meaning nowadays. I don't remember what I was looking up the other day, and it was some word, and I was like, oh, that's not how we use it nowadays, but it's how they used it back then. So it didn't make sense in the King James. Why would they say that? That doesn't make any sense, because it meant the opposite 200 years ago, 300 years ago, whatever.
1828.
So the 1828, it was, don't use the Merriam dictionary. It's very polluted. Yeah.
So you can look the word really up right online.
Correct. Yeah, you can look up. So I'll find words in the King James, and I'll look it up in that dictionary. And there's always some scriptural reference to whatever the word is.
Yeah.
He loved God, and that his whole. I mean, I can't even imagine doing that. I mean, that's what he did for his whole life. He wrote a dictionary so we could know all the words that were ever written. That just blows my mind. Do what now?
I read a biography about him, and he'd go into cities and he'd memorize the population of the town. And he just, all these details.
Yeah.
He loved details.
Yeah.
And he'd have all kinds of things in his brain.
Yeah.
Everywhere he's gone.
The guy was definitely ADHD. That's incredible. God created us to do so much, and we limit ourselves so much. It's probably with technology. I think with technology has really limited us, because we just rely on everything. I mean, like, it's funny because kids nowadays will have never know what a MAPSCO is. You guys know what MAPSCOs are, right?
Yeah.
Little book you full B28, and you look, and you're like, yeah, I'm right here in this street. But when I first started my business, I had to find everything that way. And you learn where things were. You learn streets. You know, nowadays kids have to use GPS, and if they don't have GPS, they don't know where they're going. They get lost. It's a good way to find yourself is to get lost. Oh, I remember I got lost down the street one time. I know where that's at.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like the same way with ourselves. You know, it's like if you don't try it and mess up, then you're not going to learn.
Yeah.
So we got to try it and mess up. That's why, you know, anyway, that's total non sequitur. We have the authority. It's been given to us. It would scare you to death to raise somebody from the dead, but God says you can do it. Greater things than these will you do in my name, he said. And Jesus did some pretty crazy things. We just have to understand who we are in him. And then again, it's not us, because we'll go, well, I sinned today, so I can't do that. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say that. He said, I'm in you to will and to do. Just be obedient. It's fun. Have you ever like sinned and then God? I've sinned before, and then God would have somebody call me up and then need counseling. And God just gives me a perfect word for them. And I was not in the Word 2 minutes before that with my face before God. God just wants you to be available. I'm not saying go sin and then let God use you. I'm just saying God's going to use you wherever you're at. You don't have to be in the perfect position. And now it's easier, like, if you don't have a bunch of, you know, if you don't have a bunch of unforgiveness and stuff in your head, it's going to be easier for God to use you because you're not wading through all that. It's not that God's not talking to you. It's that you're thinking about too many other things. Just be quiet and listen. Just be, I don't even say that. I say just give God permission. God, I give you permission to use me whenever and however, and He will. You know, Jonah is a prime example. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he did not want to do it. He did everything he could not to do it. And even when he went and told him, he was mad about it. I don't want them to be saved, God. They're a bunch of jerks. I want them all to burn up. And he did it anyways, and he had a bad attitude about it. And God's going to destroy you. You guys better repent. And they all repented, and God saved the entire city. That guy, he was not a good example of what a good Christian should be. But he's a perfect example of what a Christian is. Just be obedient. He finally just obeyed God. All right, God, I obey. I'm going to obey you.
Better than a whale.
That's right. So, you don't have to be anything special. Just have to be available and obedient. It doesn't have to all line up. Well, it has to all line up. If God gives you something, I believe I'm supposed to go to Honduras this April on a mission trip. I have no money. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know. I don't have the time. I need to work. But if God put it in my heart, that means it's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not asking for money. I'm just telling you. Just telling you that when God puts something on your heart, He already prepared the way for it.
Amen.
Long before you ever even thought about it. Long before it ever came into your head. Long before He ever introduced the idea to you. He already prepared it. It's what's fun to me is when God can do it one of two ways. He already prepared everything ahead of time, or He'll show you, hey, I'm going to do this, but it's going to be 10 years from now because I got to grow you up so that you can do it. A lot of times He'll do that. Well, God gave me a vision and I'm supposed to do this. Yeah, but you got to ask when. Sometimes it's immediately, but sometimes it's 5-10 years down the road. You're not ready. You're not dead. Like, people use the word mature a lot. I don't use the word mature. I use the word dead. When you're dead, then dead people don't talk back. They just listen. You know, because you're not worried about your own self and your own stuff and your own needs and your own desires. You know, it was interesting when Jesus sent out the disciples. The first time He sent them out, He said, don't take anything. Don't take a coat. Don't take money. Just go. And they went. And then the next time He said, all right, take provisions and take a sword and, you know. It's just, you just have to listen to God. God, when, where, how, who, why. Don't be your own brain.
Praise the Lord.
I used to think when I was young, I was like, you can't pray about everything. You know, what food should I put in my body? When should I get up? Ask God about everything. Everything. So, hallelujah. God is good.
Hallelujah.
We have the authority. We have the authority. God has told us to use it. Yes, sir.
So, like the Honduras thing.
Yeah.
As you're mentioning, this is probably selfish on my part a little bit. I'm really thankful. There's this passage where Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them.
Yeah.
You'll have that. That's not an exact translation, but basically, that's what it says. So I've been praying for, I've got an older car.
Yeah.
And I've been praying for, you know, like a new car and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, one of the reasons I like the King James, even though it's not perfect, is because, like, if I look at, like, the New King James, it says whatever things you ask for. And the King James says whatsoever things you desire when you pray.
Yeah.
You know, which is more intimate to me.
Yeah.
And so I began to ask, and just by faith, you know, believe that, you know, I receive a new vehicle.
Yeah.
Well, I just took out a brother in Christ, I just took out a new job, basically, and a brother in Christ and said, look, if you take on this a job, you know, and I'm going to leave you, whatever, then I'm going to bless you with a car. I'll bless you with a vehicle. And I've been dragging my feet forever, you know, because for whatever reason. And so, well, I just recently got, you know, a job. I'm still doing my business, but I got a good job. And so, I've been doing that, and then, you know, I was praying whether I should just call this brother up and say, you know, should I let him know? Felt like this post was like, yeah, I call him up, definitely let him know. I was like, okay. So I did. And yeah, like, he wants to bless me with a new car. Not brand new, but like newer.
New to you.
Way newer. And so, you know, and I think it, in my mind, I can see how it could be not just one blessing, but other blessings. That one thing could be massive in other areas of my life that I've been praying about and wanting to
do. Yeah.
And so, but I'm just saying, you know, God honors his word.
Amen.
And he's faithful to his word, and he loves us unconditionally.
Amen.
There's no limit.
Amen. Agreed.
There's no limit.
Wow, Alex, that's really cool.
Yeah. Right, amen. It's so cool. Not yet. It's
coming. Yeah, there's a meme that goes out. It's funny. There's a guy out in the ocean drowning, and a guy comes by and in a boat, and he goes, "Do you need help?" And he goes, "No, I prayed. God's gonna rescue me."
Yeah.
And another guy comes by in a boat, and he's like, "No, God told me he's gonna rescue me."
Yeah, right.
and like a third guy comes by, he's like, "No, God told me." It's like sometimes. It's like just. Sometimes God sends the gift in a way we don't understand, or we're not even accepting it.
Right.
God, that can't be right. You know, I asked you to do this, but that's not the way I expected you to do it. So, I don't really deserve that, or whatever. You know, so you got to get out of that stuff. Remember, like I'm that way with Gabby. Gabby does wrong and doesn't deserve it, and yet I still want to bless her. She did wrong. She needs a punishment. And yet I still want to bless her.
I love it.
That's the way God is. We need to, you know, be punished. But God still wants to bless us. It's like, that's the way the Bible says. If I, an earthly father, am that way, how much more is our heavenly father?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Way more.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
So, authority. Go use your authority this week to...
Amen.
Heal people, lead people to Jesus,
yeah.
Cast out demons.
Wow.
You know, we don't feel like we have faith, so we're looking at our souls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember one time I was listening to your dad, and he was talking about faith, and he had all these points about it.
Yeah.
And one of them was the position. I thought, position? What is that? He said, what is the position of faith? No, the location.
Yeah.
What is the location of faith?
Okay. Yeah.
He said, it's in your spirit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If someone asks you, do you believe? The answer is, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know that you do.
Right.
We don't feel like we do.
Right.
We do.
We do. Exactly.
It has to be taken out of
exactly.
Our
exactly.
It's up to us. It's going to be messed up.
Exactly.
So, and it says, we live by the faith of Son of God. I looked that up in the Greek. It's a possessive.
Yeah.
That word there is a possessive.
Wow.
And who's the possessor of faith? Your faith. Him. It's his faith.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like you said earlier. Really, everything has to be Jesus.
Yeah.
That's
Amen.
The bottom line.
Everything.
You don't have to understand everything. Just know it's all Jesus.
And that hurts a lot of people. They get so angry.
Yeah.
Well, I got to do something. The Catholics do that a lot. Well, you have to do some of your own works. Like, no. Zero. You can't do it. Jesus said, all your works are filthy rag.
Yeah.
I told a guy the other day, I said, you can take all the good works in the entire world And it's still a filthy rag. It's not going to get you to heaven. You can't do it. It's all Jesus, 100%.
What a great way to live.
And what a gift that is. And it takes 100% of the burden off of you. You're like, whew, no burden. And it doesn't seem right. You're like, because in a human mind, you're like, well, that's not right. There's a catch.
Yeah.
There is no catch.
Amen.
It's 100% Jesus.
No catch. Hallelujah.
All right.
Yeah, so it's like, do you believe you'll be healed? Like, no. That's my first thought.
Right.
Because I'm talking about my flesh and
right.
my soul. Uh-huh. I don't really believe it. Uh-huh. And so then I have to stop and look at it and say, okay, my spirit believes it, Lord. My
yes.
spirit believes it. Yes. And I don't need to feel that.
Right.
It's already true. I'm
yeah.
already healed, even though I don't feel it.
Yeah.
And I don't even like saying that. My flesh didn't like it. I wanted just heal me.
Right.
But he's teaching us everything's in me
yeah.
for you.
Yep.
So, anyway, we just have to remind ourselves.
Amen. Yep. That's why we get, Paul said, I got to remind myself daily.
Yeah.
You got to die daily and then remind yourself who you are daily. Because we forget.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's like when you're reading the Bible, you're like, oh, I forgot about that scripture. That was such a great one. Why? How could I ever forget that?
Yeah.
You know, it's good.
Thank you, God.
That's really good, Clay, because after what you initially said, I was sitting there thinking, I'm looking at this. Okay, Jim said, what's the location of your faith? It's your spirit. It's supposed to be made. So I was thinking, okay, what's the application? And then
yeah.
then you answered yeah. my question.
Oh, wow.
So the application is, even if you know you don't believe in your soul or your flesh,
right.
just make the confession.
Yeah.
In Jim, faith.
Jim said it
because
this
of your spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Add me.
Well, Jim said one time, this one blew me away, and I had to think about it. It was at a house church, and he said, when a Christian says he doesn't believe something, you know, when a Christian says he doesn't believe, it's because he does.
Wow.
Whoa. So he must be talking about the spirit and soul.
Yeah.
Why does my soul feel unbelief right now?
Yeah.
Because over here in your spirit, you believe, and there's a
yeah.
there's a little thing going on.
Yeah.
A little argument or a
oh yeah, there's
debate.
A battle.
There's a battle.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good. They're saying that's good.
And it says in Hebrews 4, we enter his rest, and it says, you know, where it says something about a. Well, yeah, but and then right after that it says, "For." It's dividing between spirit and soul.
Right.
It says right after that.
Yeah.
I just can't remember how it starts. For the word of God.
Yeah.
And that word is logos.
Yeah.
The logo, the word of God, is. Active and sharper,
living and active,
and sharper than a two-edged sword, and able to divide between spirit and soul.
Yeah.
So when you think you're bad, you are over here.
Yeah.
Or you think you don't believe, you don't here, but you do over here.
Yeah.
So just go back and forth. We live by faith. We don't live by our faith.
Right.
We live by His faith.
Right. Amen.
And think about Abraham. This one is awesome. I remember. You know, he said, go to a land I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
And leave your family home. Well, first, he doesn't go right away.
Right. And he takes
and
all
his... When he does go, he takes his family. Yeah. And he doesn't go to the land he's going to show him. He
right.
goes to Haran.
Right.
He's there for years.
Yeah.
And then his father dies, and then he goes, and he takes Lot.
Right.
And he goes to the land, and it looks crummy, so he goes down to Egypt. So the whole way he doesn't look like the father of our faith.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And then he gets down to Egypt and he puts his wife out there as his sister so he can cover himself.
Yeah.
And then God takes care of it and gives those guys a disease.
Yeah.
And then they have a dream or something and then he's, why did you do this to me? Get out of here. Get out of this town.
Wow.
So he saves them from that.
Yeah.
And his whole life is like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when he's 99, I think, he says... he says, well, God, this promise thing isn't working. You know, yeah. He's a man of faith. This is the father of faith. It's not working. Can you just use
Ishmael?
Hagar.
No, the
Ishmael.
Son. Ishmael. I like the guy. I like the kid. He's fine with me. Can you just use him? And God's like, no, we're going by promise.
Yeah.
So a year from now, you'll have a baby. What? You know, he's 99.
Yeah.
He waits till you're dead, and there's no way of you helping.
Exactly.
Wow.
Trying to help.
Exactly.
And then,
good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
They have the baby, and they're just blown away.
Yeah.
And that's the father of our faith.
Yeah.
Praise
so
the Lord.
We should be happy.
Yeah.
He's not looking for anything in us.
Right.
Everything's here.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Just amazing.
Yep.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Whoa.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, it's a one-way covenant. God does everything.
Amen.
Yeah. One way. Thank
you. What you were sharing today, the way you shared today, and just that fact that you came and shared, even though you didn't say it exactly in these words, what you shared, how you shared, the fact that you came and shared, demonstrated to me something that I think is helpful for us all to understand. When we want to step out and stuff like that, faith and whatever. So, Pastor Jim used to share, the clearest thought you'll ever have is Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, in a very, very real way to me, confirmed that to me.
Yeah.
And it so helps.
Yeah.
It so helps me, to know that that is a foundational reality that I can be happy about, be confident in, and know it's real.
Yeah.
Alex, I know that you use that recollection in the way you approach people for salvation, because I saw you do it, or I know you did it at my office.
Oh, yeah.
So how... tell me how you do that again.
Oh. Well, it's basically just based on the concept, right? The clearest thought you'll ever have is Jesus loves you. So I'll just ask people, hey, what's the clearest thought you think you could ever have?
Okay.
It's fun to listen to other people, because everybody thinks something different.
What are those cleaning gals, how do they respond when you ask?
It's kind of broken English.
Oh.
It's kind of broken English, because they didn't speak much English. I speak Spanglish. I speak broken Spanish. It's broken Spanish.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of hard to...
Okay.
Remember what they said, and then to decipher. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what they said. Do it.